Ooh. Wow, that sounds really good right there. Cool. You guys have a good week? This is a capo. This is a capo. Anybody done this capo? It's for guitar. Perfect. Cool. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your precious throne this morning. Father, we're looking to you. We're looking to you to lead this. We're looking for you to show up. We're looking for your power and your strength and your Holy Spirit to be involved in this, Father. What is being said, what you want to be said, and how it's said. And Father, we would apply it to our lives. We could just become better stewards, just more love for you, Father. We just praise and we thank you. Father, be with us. In your precious and holy wonderful name we pray. Amen. You guys had a great week, huh? Huh? I thought I was going to have a great week, and man, what a week I had. Ooh. Huh? Ooh. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. Praise the Lord. You guys know, Dwayne, your devotion was dead set right on the money. Huh? Huh? Let's run that race. Let's run that race. The message title today was Love Has a Name, Jesus. Love has a name. Huh? Love has a name. You know that the United States of America is the most anxious country in the world. Period. We got all this stuff. We are the most anxious country in the world. What is up with that? Do we worry about everything? I mean, I don't know. I read that statistic and I thought, that's crazy. We're the most anxious country in the world. And we got 70% of the wealth of the world? I mean, we got iPhones and cell phones and iPads and knee pads and we got all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? We got all this stuff. I'm like, what do we got to be anxious for? I guess everything. You know what I mean? Last week, Les was preaching. He was talking about Paul and his, how he got saved, that Damascus Road experience. You remember them verses, verse 15 and 16, when Ananias says, God, you know this guy, he's bad. He's a bad dude. I don't want to, he's hurting Christians. He's persecuting, he's killing them. And God says, I want you to go, because I got to show him some things he has to suffer for my name's sake. And that verse jumped off the page at me, and I was like, whoa, that's pretty weird. So, what is it you're suffering today? You suffering anything? Tired? Anybody tired? Just me? Must just be me. Well, me and Charlotte. Me and Charlotte and Joe. A couple more hands. You see, you're so tired, you're like, oh, I think, that's right, yeah, I'm tired, right? Huh? You know, we're so tired, we can't raise our hand. Huh? Praise the Lord. Does anyone think, man? So I was looking at that verse, and it just kept going, and it turned into a lot more than what I thought it would. But I want to look at a couple of things today. I want to look at several things, and I want to... We're talking in Sunday school about prayer and how important prayer is. And we was in James 5 there, and 8 says, when the earnest prayer, that heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man. Now that righteous man is a righteous woman too. That righteous person is a righteous kid too. Righteous person availeth much. And the Amplified says this, it turns loose dynamic power. And it's like, do we understand that? No, I'm just anxious. I like being anxious. I want to be anxious. I want to worry about everything. I want to be involved in it. I want to worry about it. It's just the way I want to be. I want to be nervous, shaken. I want to have to go take medication so I'm not nervous, so I don't have a nervous breakdown. Is that like us? What? Yeah, that's what we do. Instead of saying, you know what? I go to my knees in prayer, and I go talk to the Lord. I say, Father, I got a problem. And I know, without a doubt, that he's going to be involved in it. And this last week I heard a song. I don't know who sings it. But the song was pretty awesome. It says, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the Savior more than the saving. Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. And I thought to myself, we got our prayer life kind of messed up. You know, I want you to do this for me. And we've got the creator of the universe that wants to have a relationship with you right beside you. Nothing comes against him. He He's the creator of the universe. He's God. Huh? You get excited about that, can't you? How can you be anxious about life when God is with you? Huh? We still do, don't we? I still do. Anybody? Yeah, we all still do. So I'm looking at this verse, and it takes me then to, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And a lot of times when you want to see a really good example, you have to look at Jesus. He's the best example. And there's several places where it's found, but Matthew 26, I want to read a little bit of this. This is when Christ is going into the garden. We've all seen that, you know. We've all been through Easter, I think, many, many times. He's going in there to pray. He's going to take the disciples. He's going to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to pray. In verse 36, it says, "Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, 'Sit down here while I go over yonder and pray.' And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, he began to show grief and distress of mind and was deeply depressed." I'd say he was a little anxious, wasn't he? And some of it says that he was sweating drops of blood. "Then he said to them, 'My soul was very sad and deeply grieved, so that I'm almost dying of sorrow.'" That's the Amplified. "I'm almost dying because I'm so sorrowful. Stay here and keep awake and keep watch with me.' And going a little further, he threw himself upon the ground on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, not what I desire, but as you will and desire.'" This is an interesting prayer. You ever prayed that before? A prayer that has like two sides of it? I heard a woman on the radio just, I've been having to get up at 3 o'clock now to get to work by 4:30. And so there's not much on the radio in the morning that early. Anybody ever notice that? Probably not. Anyway, so it's a talk show. There's a guy, he's got a thing on, you know. And this woman called in and she said that he was talking about things that God had done in your life. And she said 30 years ago, she was really upset with God. And she went out on her front porch and she said, "I cussed God out." She said, "No, back then, you understand." She said, "I could cuss back then." She said, "You got to understand." She said, "I could cuss back then." She said, I bet a half an hour, I just cussed her and cussed her and cussed her. And she said, "When I was done," she said, "a little voice come to me and said, 'You know, that's the first time you ever talked to me. And I love you.'" What? She cussed him out! Really? You ever say that to somebody after they cuss you out? "It's okay. I enjoy talking to you. Love you." No? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Huh? And I thought to myself, I thought, wow. So, God wanted a relationship with her. And I look at this prayer, and this cup, we know what this cup is. This cup is, Christ knew, without a doubt, he was going to go to that cross. He was going to be nailed to a cross. He was going to accept, voluntarily, the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He was going to accept them upon himself, sinless, blameless, spotless God, and that his Father was going to turn his face from him. Wow. That's a cup. Anybody got a cup like that? I haven't experienced a cup like that. I hope I never do. That's a cup. And he knew what was going to happen. But what's he say? "Nevertheless, not what I want, what you want." You ever talk to people that want to know the will of God in their life? You ever talk to him? He told me, "I want to know the will of God." We pray, pray. He says, "God told me to do that." I said, "No way I can do that." No. So you want to know the will of God, but you're not willing to do what he tells you to do. I said it before, and I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating in any way, shape, or form. 30 years ago, there's no way I could have got up here and done anything I do. Period. Exclamation point. No. There's nothing. You could not have. There could not have been enough people, enough horses, enough people in the world to get me up here and say anything. You couldn't. No way. No way. There is no way. And God shows up. And he does his thing. And it's like, really? 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 You want me to do what? You want me to do what? You don't understand. You don't understand who I am. You ain't getting it. And you know what God's like? Yeah, I do. I get it. And here I am. And I'm thinking, I'm just as much of an idiot now as I was then. You know what I mean? But I can praise the Lord in it. I can thank Him for what He's doing. Let's keep moving. Let's go on here. It says, in verse 40, it says, "And it came to the disciples and found them sleeping." This is a great bunch of guys. Huh? You ever wonder about these guys? I mean, I know without a doubt, if there had been women involved in this, they wouldn't have been sleeping, would they? No, they wouldn't have been sleeping. And I can say that truthfully. But us guys, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Really? Really? Yeah, they're sleeping. They're sleeping. He comes back, finds, he says, "Peter, what are you so utterly unable to stay awake and keep watch for an hour? You can't stay awake for an hour? All of you must keep awake and watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again, our Lord and Savior, the second time, He goes away and prays, "My Father, if this cannot pass by unless I drink it, Your will be done." Wow. This cup is still glooming in the distance. This thing that He's going to have to do for you and me. For me. Why would He do that for me? Doesn't He know me? Doesn't He know me? He did it for me. But He says, "You know what? Somebody's got to do it." I sometimes wonder if God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven saying, "You know what? We got to do this thing. Because they're lost without us. They're totally lost without us." And I can see the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "You know what? I will do it." You know, you got to take the sins, all their sins, past and present. And you know what? When you look at the world today, there's some pretty bad sins out there, isn't there? You listen to the news, it's like, wow, this is crazy. People are doing a lot of stupid stuff. And I raise my hand because I do a lot of stupid stuff. But I mean, there's a lot of stupid stuff. There's a lot of bad sins. I don't sin near as bad as most people do, right? Right? No, it's all sin. It seems like some's worse than others, right? It's all sin. And Christ said, "I will take that. I will put it upon me, and I will cover it." And God the Father, can you imagine never being separated ever? And the Father had to turn His face from Christ. He had to. He couldn't look at sin. He's holy. And He knew that was going to happen. And I almost wonder sometimes if that wasn't the bigger strain to be separated from God. Do you know that's our problem? To be separated from God? Do you know that? When we pray, when we talk to God, we're there talking to Him. We're talking. He's there listening. His power, that power, dynamic power, is made available to you and I. And we can sit there and pray and talk to Him. And He says, "Because of what Christ did on that cross, I don't see nothing. I don't see that old dirty, filthy mat. That dirty guy. That worthless piece of junk. I see My Son." Huh? And He says the same thing about you. Isn't that cool? That is cool. So what are you here for? Why are we here? I want to read you a verse of Scripture out of the book of Esther. You guys ever read? Anybody ever read the Bible all the way through? Do it pretty regular? You ever read the book of Esther? Esther is an interesting book. It's in the Old Testament. It's only one of two verses or Bibles books that are named after a woman, Ruth and Esther. Pretty cool. Esther, nowhere in the book of Esther is God's name mentioned. Nowhere. Maybe in chapter 2, verse 21, it says the Septuagint actually implies God being there, but there's His name is never mentioned. Never. What's it doing in there? His name's not in there. Esther's an interesting book, and if you get a chance, spoiler alert, if you get a chance to read it, it's pretty cool because there's a lot of cool stuff going on. God's providential hand is shown throughout this whole book. But I want to read you one verse in chapter 4. A couple of verses. There's a lot going on here. Basically, King Ahasuerus, which is Xerxes, had a big party. 180 days, he's showing everybody all his money he has. He's got a lot of money. He's king. He's been king 3 years. He's trying to show off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So then he has a big party. 7 days, they get out there and they're all partying. Could you imagine? President Trump says, "You know what, guys? We've been working hard. We're going to take a whole week. You can go anywhere, eat what you want, free for a whole week." Sounds too bad, does it? Out back, here we come. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got the bloomin' onion coming and we got the cheese fries, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you think, it's all free. I can go eat for free for a whole week. You can do what you want. You don't even have to set an alarm. Just sleep in. Get up when you want. Do what you, for a whole week. That'd be cool. Kind of what he did. That's what King Ahasuerus did. Kind of what he did. So they have this big party for a whole week. In the party, trouble comes. Him and his wife have a little discontent problem there. And she refuses to come. So he gets a big hissy and basically decides he's going to get a new wife. Okay. So they go out through all the land and they pick out the best looking women in the whole land. And this young woman named Esther, who's Jewish, by the way, her uncle is Mordecai. Her parents had passed away, and Mordecai, her uncle, was raising her. And there's a guy named Haman that doesn't like Jews because Mordecai won't bow down to him because he respects God. Long story short, he decides he's going to kill all these Jews. Gets the thing from the king, going to kill all these Jews. Well, here we are, chapter 4. I won't tell you what happens in the end. You can read it yourself. Pretty cool. Chapter 4, Mordecai's out there in sackcloth and ashes. They're praying to God, looking for his hand. And Mordecai says something very interesting here. And I want you to see this. In chapter 4, Esther sends word to Mordecai. She said, what's going on? What's happening? So Mordecai sends back and says, you know what? They want to kill us. They're going to kill us. One day, this set time, they're going to kill all the Jews, period. They're going to kill them all. And Mordecai in verse 13 says, Mordecai told them to turn his answer to Esther. Do not flatter yourself that you shall escape in the king's palace and more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. Wow. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. You hear what he said? Who knows? Why are you here? I see a sign going up 71 that says, why did God create you? Call a number, find out. I don't know, I never called the number I thought about, but I've never done it. And I'm thinking, you ever ask yourself, why am I here? I take care of the kids, I cook the food, I do all this stuff, got to go to work. Pretty humdrum, isn't it? Not doing anything really impressive, are we? You don't see your face on TV. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I mean? Pretty humdrum. Why are you here? God created you for a reason. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Mordecai brings out a very interesting point. You have been placed here for a reason. Huh? You've been placed here to do devotions, maybe. Cool. Keep talking to different people, maybe do devotions maybe sometime. Huh? Ain't getting me up there. That's what I said too. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. I'm just saying. So this is interesting. Mordecai says, you know what? Maybe you for this time. But if you don't do something, there will be deliverance from somewhere else. And I thought that's kind of cool. You know what I'm saying? There will be deliverance somewhere else. And I want to go back to the New Testament. Because we're kind of talking about love has a name, Jesus, right? So what's he do for us? I mean, he died on the cross. We know that, right? He takes our sins away, right? So what did he do for us? Anything special? Anything great? Don't know. I don't know what he did. Let's go to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something. You know, Christ told his disciples, he said, you know, it is beneficial that I go away so I can send the Comforter. And it's interesting, the Comforter, obviously, he was talking about was the Holy Spirit. The Comforter Holy Spirit has a lot of names, Comforter, Standby, Strengthener. He's that one, he's the third person, and he is a person, third person of the Trinity, that is the power of God. Isn't that cool? He's the power of God. You read it in the Old Testament that when the Holy Spirit comes upon somebody, things happen. Huh? I always chuckle. Everybody knows who Samson is? He's a big, strong guy, right? Big, strong guy. My dad, several times in his lifetime, would tell me, he said, you know what? It's a shame God didn't make another Samson. Because he was in the bank one day and asked me, he said, I'd have grabbed that counter and tore the whole thing right out. And that's my dad. I'm thinking, yeah, I've been there, you know what I'm saying? Just grab that counter and just tear the whole thing right out. Like, wow. That'd get their attention, wouldn't it? Huh? Yeah. I thought that was fun. But anyway, in 2 Corinthians, it's interesting here. I want to read this to you. Okay. So why Christ had to suffer some stuff right? He had to suffer some stuff. So why do you have trouble? Why do you have trouble? Self-inflicted? Yeah. Things makes decisions I make? Yeah. Sometimes it ain't got nothing to do with me. I didn't do nothing and I still got trouble. You ever had that problem? Huh? Yeah, I've had that problem. And work, they sent us to a thing there last winter to make us better leaders, whatever. And everything they were talking about, I told the owner, I said, you know what, if you read your Bible, that's based on the Bible. And he kind of laughed, but it was. It, and some of the core ideologies of this thing was, you know, own your problem, own it, own it. Say, things didn't go right today. That's one of the, I got a slogan on my board in my mechanic shed. I wrote it up there. I said, what defines you? Your character. Your character defines you. It's who you are. It's your character. It's okay. So then you go then. What defines you? I said, you had trouble today? Don't look to somebody else. Don't try to blame somebody else. Don't try to accuse somebody else. Look to yourself and see what you could have done different to change the situation. Own it. And I thought to myself, you know, that's kind of biblical, isn't it? Own it. We don't have to worry about what people are saying about us. We got to own it, right? Let's go to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 1, verses 2. It says, grace, grace is favor and spiritual blessing. Wow. To you and heartfelt peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy and the God who is is a source of every comfort. Comfort. I looked up this word comfort. It kind of comes to me. I thought, this is kind of cool. Comfort is an interesting Greek word. It's two words put together. It means to call to one side. Comfort. The God of all comfort. And I thought to myself, why do we suffer problems? Why do we have trouble? It ain't my fault. Right? I didn't do it. Right? I didn't do it. That's not my fault. We all have kids. We know how that goes, don't we? Well, let's read on here. We have verse 3. It says, God, He's a father of sympathy. Pity. He's a father of sympathy. And He's the God of all comfort. Let's go to verse 4. Who comforts. And this word comfort comes through about 20 times in the next couple verses. I'm like, okay, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, who comforts, consoles, and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction. He comforts you in every trouble. What? So that we may also be able to comfort those who are in any kind of trouble or distress with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. It's a lot of comfort that's going on in here, isn't it? So why do you have trouble? You have trouble, and you are comforted by God, so you can be a comfort to someone else who's in trouble. Wow. I don't like trouble. I don't want to be comforted in trouble. I don't want trouble. Just comfort me and leave the trouble away. Right? I don't want the trouble. Just comfort. That's all I want. Huh? Isn't that the way we are? It's how we are. I gave you a little something here. You got trouble? I know you do. You got something. You got trouble? You got trouble? You're a card-carrying member of the earth. You're a card-carrying member. You're a member. If you live here, you're going to have trouble. Something. Something's going to stick. I mean, there's going to be stuff that happens. Right? It all happens to all of us. The car one. We got stuff. It happens. But we have a comforter that can come beside us and strengthen us through the trial we're facing so that we can be a comfort to somebody else, that we can put our arm around somebody else when they're in trouble. Isn't that cool? Let's keep going. This comfort thing, it gets pretty heavy. Verse 5. For just as Christ's sufferings fall... What? Listen to this. Just as Christ's sufferings fall to our lot, as they overflow upon the disciples and we share and experience them abundantly, so through Christ, comfort is also abundantly shared by us. Wow. But if we are troubled, it is for your comfort and for your salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which works in you when you patiently endure the same evils that we also suffer and undergo. Wow. You mean to tell me that I got problems in my life every day, all day long, that are going to come on me, regardless of what I do, think, act, or say, I'm going to have trouble come my way, and I'm expected to stand there and say, you know what, God, I want out of this trouble. Is that what we do? I talked to somebody this week. I did. Like, yeah, it is. But you know what? God's still in control. Huh? He ain't stepped off the throne yet. He's still God. And I know He's right here. Isn't that cool? So when we go to prayer, we talk to God, it ain't like you're talking to me and B and Z and miles away. He's right here. He's right here. You know what? I got trouble here. And yet, what do I need to say to that person that is in that situation? Not to be condescending, not to be, what, get over it. You know what I mean? That's not the answer. That God would give you a soft, gentle answer for that person. You know what I mean? Because He loves them, just like He loves me. Have we all been there? I think we've all been there in our life at one time or another. We get to a point like, this is just not working. Huh? We've all been there. If you've been around any length of time, you've all been there. This is not working. This ain't working and I'm done. I ain't even getting out of bed today. Fooey. Huh? Huh? You know how we do? It says here, we have trouble. God comforts us in our trouble so we can be a comfort to others. Verse 7. And our hope for you, and Paul writes, our joyful and confident expectation of good for you is ever unwavering, for we know that just as you share in our partners in our sufferings and calamities, you also share in our partners in our comfort. Wow. You mean to tell me that all this trouble I get into, all these trials that come upon me, God allows? Yeah. Yeah. Look at poor old Job. He even pointed Job out. I bet Job said, no, shut up. Don't say a word about me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Job got beat down. This is terrible. You know what? We have troubles come upon us so we can grow closer to God. If everything was going smooth, and you didn't have a trouble in the world, and you were singing, be happy, the song, you know, that song, that stupid song they played for like 100 million times, you know what I'm saying? If everything was just great, what would you need God for? You wouldn't need Him, would you? You don't need Him. Your health's good, your kids are good, I got plenty of money, I got a car, I got a house. I don't need God, do you? What happens when trouble comes? We lose our job. We get hurt. What happens when things start going wrong? What happens when we get sick? What happens when our health starts going away? What happens? I talked about it in Sunday school today. Steve Brennan's daughter, I guess she had a vision or something there. She's praying to God for healing. And God told her, He said, if I heal you now, I won't get the glory. And I think, man, but you know what? I've seen so many situations where a person's health is terrible and they've got all this problem and they're closer to God than they ever been in their life. Isn't that a learning experience? Wow. I told a story before and I thought it was interesting. There's a guy that he's an evangelist actually. He preaches and has healing services, and a friend called him and said his mom was sick. She wanted him to come and pray for him. So he flies wherever this is, goes, she's going to talk to this woman, goes up there and she's in a wheelchair, really bad health, just really bad shape. And he says, I come here to pray for you. He said, oh, no, you're not. No, you're not. He said, I've never been closer to God in my whole life. He said, you come here, I'm going to pray for you. And I thought, yeah! Yes! Her physical outward appearance did not affect what she was inside, because she was closer to God than she had ever been before. Do you want that? Do you want that? To be closer to God, the God of all comfort? The God of all sympathy, who knows exactly how you feel when you cuss Him out on the porch. He says, about time you talk to me. Huh? That God who knows your heart better than you? That God who knows what's coming tomorrow? That's the one you want. You want him there with you. He can take care of any problem you got. And you know what? When that problem comes, you can walk through it with him. He's the God of all comfort. And you know what? When you come through that trial, when somebody comes and says, "Ha, you have no idea what I'm dealing with. This is what I got going on." I've been there. Been there and done that. I got the t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what I mean? I think our problems are twofold. God wants you to get close to him. He just wants the relationship with you. He just wants to talk to you. He just wants to be around you. He created you to talk to him. He created you. Because he said, you know what? I got nothing to do. I'm going to just create a whole bunch of mean, nasty people that want to have a relationship with me. I want to talk to them. Really? You couldn't do any better than this? Yeah. He's still God. He's got a plan. And if I didn't have trouble in my life, I wouldn't be able to know how awesome he is when I have those troubles. When that trouble's come upon me. And it's the same for you. And can I say, I screw up sometimes. I mess up. I said that out loud, didn't I? Yeah, we all do. You're going to catch you in that wrong mood. You're like, you know what I'm saying? We've all been there. You're human. You know what? God says, I know that guy. He's a bad guy. I know that guy. But you know what? He needs me as much as you do. Okay, God. What do you want me to do? So if you're going to be in his will, if you're praying to God that you'll know his will in a situation, be ready for the outcome. Because if he calls you to do something, you better do it. Because he has the ability, God has the ability to get you to the point where you're going to do what he wants you to do. And that's scary. That's scary. See a dummy like me up here singing? That's scary. You just never know what I might do. I might jump off the stage or something. You just never know. Huh? God wants to do the same for you. God wants to do the same thing for you. And you think, well, how does he know how I feel? How does he know? I want to show you something. Let's go to Hebrews. Yeah. Go to Hebrews 5. I don't want to hold you over very long, but I want you to see something here. Actually, we're going to look at James, but we already talked about that, didn't we? The fervent. What's that fervent prayer mean? It's a prayer of somebody who's really interested in loving you. You know, our prayer chain is really cool because when people call in with the prayer chain, want prayer for something, they want it immediately with prayer. Something is, and we have people that stop and pray at that point in time. People that love the people they're praying for. I've been to churches where they don't do a prayer chain because, well, most people don't know who they're praying for and they really don't pray anyway. I can understand that. But if you really love somebody, if I got a problem, I don't want to talk to a total stranger that don't know me. I want to talk to somebody that knows me and who cares about me and loves me and they're praying for my well-being, right? That's what we want, right? That's what it's talking about. That fervent, that heartfelt, hey, I love you and I'm going to be praying. I'm going to bring you before God. Because ain't nothing I knew about your situation, but I know God's more than capable. Huh? Hebrews chapter 5. And it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here in verse 7. It says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up definite, special petitions for that which he not only wanted, but needed. And supplications with strong crying and tears to him was always, always able to save him out from death. And he was heard because of his reverence toward God. And this says, his godly fear, his piety, and that he shrank from the horrors of separation from the bright presence of the Father. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And his completed experience making him perfectly equipped to become the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey. Being designated and recognized and saluted by God as high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Do you understand the Lord Jesus Christ knows how you feel? Do you understand when people abused him, they talk bad about him, they spit on him, they cursed him, all the stuff that happens to you and I, Do you understand that he experienced that in his body, in his flesh? He knows how you feel. So there's no sense in lying to him. Oh, that's okay. I'm good. I'd like to kill that guy. He said, yeah, I know you do. I'd like to kill him too. Huh? Huh? But I won't. Because it's not yet. That guy may be like Paul. He may be a chosen vessel. And he may be the one who's going to suffer. Learn to suffer for my name's sake. Wow. You could be that person. You're here for a time, for a reason. You are here for a reason. God has it picked out. And sometimes we don't know what it is. And I guess it's good we don't. Because we probably run like a screaming dog in the night because we don't want to know what it is. We don't want to see it. We don't want to be there. 30 years ago, God says, you're going to be up there singing. I'm like,
can you believe that?
You know what I mean? That's the funniest thing I ever heard. You're going to be a comedian. Huh? No. Here I am. Here I am. You know what I mean? So when God asks you to do something, be in prayer about it. Be in prayer about it. When he asks you to do something, wow, be ready for what he's going to do. Because I think God's got powerful things in store for each and every one of you. Powerful. Powerful. And he's going to use you in a mighty and powerful way. Huh? And you know what? In all those trials and troubles you're going to come across, in that powerful way he's going to use you, he's going to be right there beside you. Isn't that cool? Right there. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Oh, Father, we humbly come before you. We don't understand how much you love us. Love does have a name, and it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that he did, all that he suffered, we will never understand how much you love us, how much you suffered for us, how much you gave up, how much you endured, how much, only because you loved us. No one took your life. You gave it freely. No one nailed you to a cross. You allowed it to happen. Father, we just can't understand. We can't understand how someone could love us so much because we know us. Why would you love us that much? We don't know. But Father, we are so thankful. We are so grateful because of how awesome you are and what you do in our lives. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon us today, Father, that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our heart to the Word. We would understand that you are the God of all comfort. You comfort us in every situation. And Father, just teach us to be comforters to those who need us. And Father, be the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit. We can just say the right things, be the right thing. Just love people, Father. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we just come before you with just total awe and reverence of just how awesome you are. Father, we just thank you in your precious and holy, wonderful name we pray. Amen. As the praise team comes forward, we've got a little song to sing for you. But kind of interesting, the songs we sang today tied in with the love of God and what he does. And Les wants to come forward. Looks like Les is the only one here for elder. Patsy could come forward if she wanted to. See there? See that? I know that will of God thing. Believe me, I understand. No, if there's anything you need prayer for this morning, if there's anything you need, anything. Oh, yeah.